Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Tamura Daf Tes Zayin. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin 3 lines from the top at the end of the line with the word Gufa. Gufa is a quote from that which had been mentioned earlier. Before continuing in the Gemara itself, let us glance at the outside margin where we have one of our Gemara markings features, the Nose, a topic heading. You will find in the Shas Ozer, which is the Gemara that appears on your screen, topic headings, known as Nose, and structural notes referred to by the term Mivne. In this case, under our topic heading, the Nose, we've written Shikhas HaTorah Shoebimei Evloi Shel Moshe. At the time of Moshe Rabbeinu's death and succeeding days of mourning, a lot of Torah was forgotten from the people. The Gemara. Gufa Omar of Yehuda, Omar Shmuel. Shloshes alofim halochas nishtakhu bimei evlo shel Moshe. 3,000 points of law were forgotten in the time of Moshe. Omru lo Yoshua. You'll notice we have a triangle, and as you skim down the page, you see a few more triangles. On the outside margin, the triangle is featured, and we have under our Mivne heading, Elu sheponu aleihem lishol ma hi halocha. These are the people that, historically, the people turned unto them. You can see with the triangles, you see Yoshua, you see Shmuel. They turned unto them to reveal what the halochas that were forgotten are. A little bit later, we'll see more triangles. And the triangles there have colored in tips, and we've noted Kiliel. The theme of these triangles is like that which was before. Rak Shekan Shaykh Ledivir Rebitzok Nafcha. We'll see a comment made by Rebitzok Nafcha, whose name is underlined in the Gemara, and these subsequent names are following from what he says. So now we continue with the Gemara. We mentioned 3,000 forgotten halachas. The people turned to Omru Lo Yoshua. Sha'al, they turned to Yoshua, who succeeded Moshe Rabbeinu in the leadership of the Jewish people, and they asked of him, seek out from heaven what those forgotten halachas are. Omar lehu, so Yoshua said to them, Lo bashamayim hi, Torah, once it was given at Mount Sinai, is no longer in the purview of heaven. Therefore, heaven is not an address to turn to ask questions of a Torah nature. Omru lo lishmuel sha'al. They asked Shmuel, who was a very famous prophet, and asked him, would you seek out through your prophecy what the forgotten halachas are? Omar lahem. So Shmuel answered, Eile ha-mitzvos. That's a quote from a pasuk. And from this we learn, Eile ha-mitzvos. These are the mitzvos, namely, She'en ha-novi rashoi l'chadesh dover me'ato. A prophet has no right to teach something new from this point, from the point that the Torah was given. Prophecy is not a source of Torah information, a source of, let's say, a Torah revelation. Omar Rebisok Nafcha, Av Chatos Shemesu Baleo Nishtakho Bimeevloi Shomoshe. This was really the, very likely, the tie-in of this entire last section of Gemara to our sugya, in which we were discussing a sin offering whose owner died. And here he points out that even this halacha of Chatos Shemesu Baleo was a halacha that was forgotten during that time period. That's Nishtakho Bimeevlo Shemosha Omru Bepinchas. What do you do in a case of a chatos whose owner died? So that, we said, was forgotten. So they turned to Pinchas. Pinchas was he became a Kohen Gadol. He was a grandson of Aaron, the first Kohen Gadol. And they asked Pinchas, Sha'al, seek out what the halacha is regarding chatos shemesu baleo, a sin offering whose owner died. What do you do with that animal? Omar lohem, so he answered, Lo ba shamayim hi, Torah is no longer in heaven. Omru Elozer Shaal. They turned to Elozer and asked him, Omar Lohem Eileh HaMitzvos. As we saw before, these are the mitzvos, and from this we learn these, and that is the end of no one else can from the time of the giving of the Torah. Shein Novi Rashoy L'Chadesh Dover Me'ato. A prophet is not someone who can reveal Torah knowledge. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav. B'shoh Sheniftar Moshe Rabbeinu L'Gan Eden. At when Moshe Rabbeinu was about to pass away from this world, to enter the Garden of Eden, Omar lo la Yeshua, Moshe said, turn to Yeshua, his successor, and said, Sha'al mi meni kol sfeikos sheyesh lecha. Ask of me any points of doubt, anything that's not clear, ask of me. This is your opportunity to get full clarity. Omar lo, Yeshua says to Moshe Rabbeinu, says, Rebbe, my teacher, klum hinachticho sho achas v'alachti l'mokam achir. Did I leave you even for one moment to go somewhere else? Lo koch kosafta bi. Did you not write about me in the Torah? U'mishor si Yeshua benun, the servant of Moshe Rabbeinu, namely me, Yehoshua, na'ar, he was a youth, lo yomish mitoch ol, means even from his very early days, he was always. He never departed from the tent, literally, meaning he was never departed from Moshe Rabbeinu and his Torah teaching. So that what Yehoshua is saying to Moshe, I don't have any points of doubt. I've been with you all the time, and I've received everything directly from you, and it's all been very clear. Miyah toshash koichoi shel Yehoshua. There's another girsa here, another version that says toshash koichoi shel Moshe, that Moshe had this feeling of weakness, or of we'll call it some like a feeling of wonderment that came over him, in so far as that here is his student saying that he has the same level of clarity as Moshe Rabbeinu himself. This topic, I think, needs a little more analysis, but if you look in the Rashi says that Moshe Rabbeinu was we'll say upset, for lack of better expression, and this you can see in the Rashi Divra Masel v'Nishtakhu Mimenu, about halfway down. By the way, Rashi appears in two columns, the inside column and where the Tosis ordinarily would appear in the outside column. So take note of that. Rashi nonetheless says v'Nishtakhu Mimenu Miyoshua ba'avon shigram lahachlish daito shel Moshe shenitzdayer Moshe al Yehoshua ba'atzmo shegodol kamoso. That Moshe Rabbeinu had this feeling of being upset in that Yehoshua was his equal. And as I said, this is something that definitely requires some analysis. But we turn back to the Gemara, and we see what Rashi had alluded to. Immediately after Yehoshua told Moshe that I don't have any doubts, it's all very clear to me, so Toshash Kocho Yehoshua. Yehoshua became weak at that point. V'nishtakhu mimenu shlosh meos halachos, and became forgotten from him. He forgot 300 halachos. V'noldu lo shva meos sveikos, and all of a sudden 700 points of doubt became arose. V'omdu kol Yisrael lahorgoi, the Gemara says that the Klal Yisrael, because now so many halachos were forgotten, they were threatening him to kill him until he would tell them what they are. Omar Loi HaKodesh Baruch Hu. So Kodesh Baruch Hu says to Yeshua, listen, you know, I see that now there's a big problem. You forgot 300 halachas, 700 points of doubt. Well, Lomar Loch Efshut, for me to tell you what they are, I can't do that. As I won't do that. That's, as we saw before, once the Torah was given, it was given completely to the purview of man, and it's for him to study it and reveal what needs to be revealed. It's not something that the Almighty gets involved with anymore. Lech v'tordon b'milchoma. So, but you know, you are being threatened, so you know what? Get their minds off of the problem. Get them involved in a war. Shenemar v'yachri mois Moshe v'ed Hashem v'yomer Hashem. After Moshe Rabbeinu died, Hashem says, "Uksiv be'oid shloishes yomim hachinu lochem tzeda." In another 3 days, go and prepare your needs for war. The Masnis in Tana, Elef Ushvamios, the Masnis of Tana means in a Tanaic source addressing this same topic, the following was taught. Elef Ushvamios, that's 1,700, Kalin V'chamurin, Kal V'chomer is the plural of the term Kal V'chomer logic, points of law that are derived through Kal V'chomer, Ubzeros Shavos, those are things that we derive through word comparisons, V'dikduke Sofrim, and other forms of Torah revelation, V'dikduke Sofrim, Rashi here says that that's a reference to the grouping of various halachas that have some point in common. So there's a special type of chokhmas, wisdom, in knowing how to group different types of halachas together. So these were also forgotten. They were nishtaku b'me'ev lo yishel Moshe, forgotten in the days of mourning for Moshe, the days immediately succeeding his death. Omar Rabbi Avo, Afal Pi Kain, even though we have this dismal situation where so much was forgotten, Hechzirun Osniel ben Kenaz mitoch pilpulo. Osniel ben Kenaz, we'll see later, he was a relative, a brother of Kalev, so that gives you, that places him time-wise at the generation of Moshe Rabbeinu and that which followed. He eventually became one of the first leaders of the Jewish people after the death of Yehoshua. So this man, a very great man, you can see from this Gemara, he returned the lost halachas through his sharp analysis, through his pilpul. Shenemar, Vayilkido, Osniel, Ben Kenaz, Achi Kolev, Vayitein Loi Es Achso Bito Liisha. Rashi, Vayilkido Osniel, and it says that Osniel, he captured Likirias Sefer. Likirias Sefer, if you read the Sukkim in a very simplistic fashion, it's the name of a place. However, the analysis of the name Kiryas Sefer is a reference to Sefer Halachas, a book of law. In other words, he captured the forgotten laws. And the Pasuk, in fact, describes Osniel, after his success in this effort, whether it be the battle or his restoration of the forgotten halachas. So he was given in marriage his niece. If we look in the, we have a posuk here that's from Sefer Yehoshua. On the inside margin, we record here a few psukim, and these psukim will be beneficial that you see them in light of the upcoming Gemara. So if we just glance at the side, where it says Yehoshua Tesvov, psukim Yutes, Yudzayin through Yutes, Pasuk Yudzayin says, Vayukedo Osniel ben Kenaz Achi Kolev, Osniel captured Kiryas Sefer, and he was the brother of Kolev, Vayitein lo es Akso Bito Liisha. And Kolev gave Osniel, in other words, he gave his brother, his daughter, named Kolev's daughter, Osniel's niece it would be, as a wife. An uncle is allowed to marry his niece. Vayihi bevoa, the Pasuk Yudches says, and when she came, Vatesiteu l'shol me'es ovio sodeh, she convinced or prevailed upon her husband, Osniel, to ask of her father, in other words, his brother, for a field. Vatitznach me'al hachamor, vayomer lo kolev maloch. And she, vatitznach is a word that the Gemara will analyze, so she, it could be that she, the literal translation would be she alighted from the donkey that she was riding on, and she and her father asked, like, what's wrong with you? What's your problem? Vatomer, and she says, Tnali brocha, give me a blessing. Ki eretz hanegev nesatani, nesata li gulois mayim, vayitein lo es gulos ilios ves gulos tachtios. We'll see a little more in the Gemara about this, but she seems to be complaining about what she was given in her marriage, and is requesting now from her father something else. But as we said, this will be the subject of the upcoming Gemara. So after having said that Osniel was successful in restoring the forgotten halachas, and he receives his niece as a wife, And it says that her name was Aksa. The Gemara on the second wide line continues, V'loma nikra shmo Aksa. Why is that her name? What's the significance of that name? So if you look at these letters and you switch them around a little bit, you put the Chof at the beginning, and you have Chof Ayin Samache, Ka'as. You have Ka'asa, or the word Ka'as means anger. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Shekoha Roya Oysa, any man that would see her, Koyes al Ishto, would get angry at his own wife. Rashi explains he would be frustrated, we'll say, because of this woman's great beauty, and the assumption here is that a man would be have a feeling of jealousy, if you will, that he doesn't have a wife as attractive as she. Vayhi bevoa, and when she came, vatesitehu lishome sovio sode, she convinced him to ask of her father for a field. Vatitznach me'al hachamor. My vatitznach. We said before this word need explanation. So Omar Rava, Omar Reb Yitzchok, he explains that the word vatitznach is a lashon, you'll see very shortly in the Gemara, a lashon of tzivacha, of screaming, of crying out. So Rava, Omar Reb Yitzchok says, Omra loy. She says, ma hamor zeh. Pasuk had said, "Vatitznach me'al hachamor." So she says, just like a donkey, kivon she'ein lo meichel be'evusoi biatzayik. The nature of a donkey is that when he is eating from his evuso, from his feeding trough, and the food supply finishes, the donkey brays, it starts to scream. Kach isha, the same thing is with women, and she's speaking, she's a woman, she's speaking about womankind, and she says, Kach isha, kivan she'ein lo tvua besoch besa, when the grains are empty from her house, meaning the cupboards don't have any food in there, or the fridge is empty, miyad so ekes. A woman screams. A woman cannot tolerate a situation where there is no food in the house. Shenemar vayomer lo avia ma loch. The father said, "Like, what is bothering you?" Vatomer, and she said, "Tni tanali brocha. Give me a brocha. Give me a blessing." Ki eretz hanegev nisatani. What does that mean? Bayis shemenu gov mikol tuva. You gave me a house. In other words, you married me to a man that has no plenty. The house is menugav, means literally dried out from any good. There's no wherewithal in my house. You may know it. Once again, you married me to a man that has that doesn't provide. That has nothing for me. Vinosatali gulos mayim. You gave me gulos mayim. Adam she'ein bo ela Torah. Torah is compared to mayim, to water. So she says, you gave me only water. The word gulos is explained by, we explained it to mean giluya, something that's revealed to him. This is a man that all he has is Torah that is revealed to him. Vayitein lo kolev es gulos ilios ves gulos tachtios. Omar lo. Her father, Kolev, says to his daughter, who's here complaining, he says, Mi shekol roze oilam el yoinim v'tachtoinim sheloi, yevakesh mimeni mezonos. Could it be that I gave you a man, a husband, that all the secrets of the heaven and of the earth, the elyonim, the upper worlds and the lower worlds, are revealed to him? He is an extraordinarily brilliant Torah scholar, and you are coming to complain to me about food. Now, Rashi explains a little bit more. Rashi says, Yevakesh mimenu mizonos. The Rashi continues in the outside column at the top, Tahai vadai lo yitzdorech. In this situation, you have a husband that has all this fantastic Torah knowledge. You don't need anything else. Dichtiv ba, it says regarding the Torah, hoiso ku'aniyos socher. The Torah is like merchant boats. In other words, a person who is immersed in Torah learning, the Torah will fetch for him his needed wherewithal. And this is our belief, that one who is truly dedicated to Torah study in an uncompromising fashion, he will make ends meet. He will be able to subsist. And we're not saying at this point that a person will be extraordinarily wealthy, have many vacation homes, a fleet of luxury automobiles, massive investments in all types of financial tools. But we are saying that a person who is seriously dedicated to Torah study in an uncompromising fashion, and this goes way beyond someone who simply is affiliated with, we'll say, institutions or societies that wave the flag of Torah and Judaism. That's already a societal question. What we're talking about here is someone who is immersed in the true study of Torah, dare say day and night. People like that are guaranteed from heaven to be able to maintain themselves, to subsist. Now, of course, I don't know. I haven't done a survey of the population, but if one should find some type of exception to this rule, there are, of course, many other calculations that are made in heaven. In fact, when you turn to the very beginning of Maseches Brochas, there's an encounter between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbi Yochanan meets Rabbi Elazar, who is seemingly very upset, and the Torah indicates that he led a life of impoverishment. We find by Rabbi Hanina ben Doisa, who was a fantastically great righteous man who lived a life of impoverishment. But it might very well be that their level of impoverishment didn't affect their day-to-day living. They knew how to deal with that, and they were able to sustain themselves on that, as opposed to many people who can in fact have much more and can't make ends meet. So at the end of the day, who is really coming out better? But basically, Torah Judaism says, and you can see this information emphasized in the Rambam as well, at the end of Sefer Shemitah V'Yovel, where the Rambam points out that anyone who dedicates himself to, as we say, uncompromising Torah study will be sustained by heaven. Let us now continue in the Gemara. So we understand that the last point that we made was that Kalev, hearing his daughter's cries, can't resolve that when he knows very well that her husband was this massively dedicated Torah giant. How could it be that she's coming with claims that she has nothing? The Kalev ben Kenaz, who the Gemara asks here, was the Kalev, let's read that line again. Kalev ben Kenaz, who? V'oksiv Kalev ben Yefuneh. You'll notice here we have a little star to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. If you align this with the star you see a bit above, opposite the first wide line of the Gemara, it mentioned in that pasuk above, Osniel ben Kenaz, Achi Kalev, Osniel the son of Kenaz, and Osniel's brother was Kalev, so it would follow that Kalev's father was Kenaz. So here the Gemara is asking, is that really so, that Kalev was the son of Kenaz? But does it not say that Kalev was the son of Yefuneh? The Gemara answers, the pasuk that says he was the son of Yefuneh is not really a name. It's a description. Ma Yefuneh, what does Yefuneh really mean? Shepono, he turned away, me'atsas meraglim, from the evil counsel of the other spies. Many of you may recall that in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, 12 spies were sent in to scout out the land of Israel. 10 of them came with a negative report. 2 of them, Yoshua and Kalev, came with a positive report. And they made an effort to turn away from the scheme and evil counsel of their fellow compatriots, of their the other spies. So he turned away, hence the word Yefuneh, which means Shepono, turning away from. The Gemara asks still, back to the names, Vakati ben Kenaz who? Ben Chetzron who? How can you say Kalev's father's name was Kenaz when his father's name was Chetzron? Dichtiv v'Kalev ben Chetzron, hoylid es azuva. This is a pasuk in Divrei Hayomim, it's featuring Kalev, the son of Chetzron. So how do we resolve? On the one hand it says Kalev ben Chetzron, on the other hand it says Kalev ben Kenaz. Or we're explaining Kalev ben Kenaz, meaning we saw Osniel ben Kenaz, whose brother was Kalev. Omar Rava. Rava explains Chorge de Kenaz who. In fact, Kalev was ben Chetzron. Why was he called ben Kenaz? He was a stepson of Kenaz. What does that mean, a stepson? Kalev and Osniel were brothers through a common mother, as Rashi explains. And that Othniel's father was in fact Kenaz. So with regard to Koleg's relationship with his maternal brother's father, that's called Chorge. He was a, we'll call it a stepson of Kenaz. But the man that really led to his physical birth, his name was Chetzron. There is a little bit of an addition to this piece of Gemara that one can find in the Shita Mekubetzes, Ois Yud Aleph, where he adds, Daikon Nami, if you carefully read the psukim, you can see this in fact to be the case. V'chtiv Kolev ben Yefune ha-Kenizi. The pasuk refers to him as Kolev ben Yefune the Kenizi. V'lo k'siv ben Kenaz. It doesn't say anywhere Kolev ben Kenaz. Hence, the reference to Kolev as the Kenizi indicates that he was a stepson of Kenaz and not a ben, not a son of Kenaz. Tana, we have a Tanaic source that is rather long. You'll see it, you can see from the frame, length of the frame, it spans a number of lines. This source focuses on Othniel, and you'll see it's pretty self-explanatory. A lot of other information and description about Othniel. The pasuk Hu Othniel. Many times in the Torah, there are, especially when you learn the book of Divrei Hayomim, known as the book of Chronicles, there are many, many names, and the numerous names are not, in fact, a reference to different people, but there are many names which can serve as descriptions, in fact, of the same individual. So here you see an example of that. Hu Othniel, Hu Yavetz. The person called Othniel is, in fact, the same person who is called Yavetz. Umashmo, what was his birth given name? Yehuda Achi Shimon Shmo. His real name was Yehuda, the brother of Shimon. Othniel, why is he referred to by that word or that name? She'ano'o Kael. The Almighty answered him, which we'll see a little bit more about this as we go on in the source. Yavetz, he's referred to as Yavetz. She'yo'atz v'ribetz Torah b'Yisrael. He provided counsel and spread the word of Torah teaching amongst the Jewish people. Uminolon Shano Kael. From where do we see that the Almighty answered him? After all, if he was called Othniel because of that, where do we see that? Dechtiv, the pasuk says, Vayikro Yabetz Elokei Yisrael Lemor. The Yabetz, which we can call him Othniel or Yehuda Achi Shimon, he turned to the Almighty and asked, or requested, Imborech Tivorcheni, if you would only be so kind as to bless me, v'herbisa eskvuli, v'hoisa yodcha imi. By the way, we will see all of this. This pasuk continues till the next line, but the Gemara will break it down. So, in the meantime, let us just read the pasuk, and we'll see the breakdown as we go on in the source. And we might as well point out that the explanation of this pasuk will be featured with by two opinions in this source. You can in fact see them by looking at the diamonds with Roman numeral 1 and 2 accompanying them, and on the outside margin under our nose, same Mivneh heading, we feature these diamonds and indicate 1 and 2. These are Shnei Hezberim al Filoso Shel Yavetz, two explanations regarding Yavetz's prayer that we're about to study. We've also featured with our markings the expression in a house, Kayotze Badovar, and that will become self-explanatory when we get there. In the meantime, let's first read the pasuk where Yavetz turns to the Almighty, and he says, Imborech Tevarcheni Virbisa Zgvuli, V'hoisa Yoducha Imi V'asisa Me'ra'a Levilti Otzbi V'yavei Elokim Es Asher Sha'al. You see in this pasuk, without explaining it yet, he turns in prayer to the Almighty, and at the end of the pasuk it says, the Almighty granted what he requested. Now, the breakdown. The underlines here are the sections of the pasuk itself. The terms following it are the explanation. Im borech tevorcheni, b'torah, is if you would bless me with Torah excellence. V'hirbisa esgvuli b'talmidim, and expand my boundaries with students. V'hoisa yodcha imi, shelo yishtakach talmudi milibi. And he's praying that you will stay with me, namely that my Torah learning should not be forgotten. Just a parenthetical word. It's a very big issue that comes up amongst people that study Torah. The issue of forgetting. Many people judge their Torah success by the amount they retain. In other words, very simply, retention equals success in Torah learning. Or one will judge his Torah learning worthiness by amount of retention. I would like to posit the following approach that, based on primarily the Gemara in Maseches Megillah Davov, which says that Lukumi Girsa, Davov Amid Beis, the upper part of the page, for those who want to look into this a little more, Lukumi Girsa, which Rashi explains to mean Shelo Yishtakach Mimenu, the retention of Torah learning, Siyata Dishmai, that's a function of heavenly assistance. In other words, and Rashi himself over there in Maseches Megillah says that many struggle with this to retain and are not successful. And therefore, the conclusion one reaches is that the ability to retain Torah is not something that is as a direct outgrowth of one's efforts. In fact, life will reveal to you that there are some people who learn Torah, hear something even once, and can recall what they've learned years later. And there are many who will take a piece of Torah learning, a page of Gemara, and go over it again and again many times, and could be as soon as a week later, it's already become fuzzy and hazy with them. And even more interestingly, those same people that might find Torah retention difficult have an easy time remembering many other things. The Gemara in Maseches Nedarim, in fact, says that Moshe Rabbeinu used to study Torah and forget it until the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave it to him as a gift. The Gemara says in Maseches Avodah Zarah that when davening the Shmona Esrei, one is entitled to add a personal request that corresponds to each bracha of the Shmona Esrei. As you're all familiar, the middle section of the Shmona Esrei has prayers that are of a personal nature, of a specific nature, specific requests. Parnosa, that income, health, redemption, success in court, etc. So when it comes to the opening one of the middle brochas, the middle section, which refers to Das, Rashi's example in Maseches Avodah Zarah is if one finds he is forgetting Torah knowledge, he should pray to the Almighty to retain it. Now, if retention was a function of your own efforts, so why turn in prayer when just work harder at it? So here you see another example of that. A Kolev prays to the Almighty that he should not forget his Torah learning. As we said before, based on the Gemara in Megillah, retention is a function of Siyata Dishmaya, heavenly intervention. And therefore, one who finds himself forgetting should not be despaired, even for one moment, about his ability to learn. Ability to learn can be judged about understanding and clarity as you are going along. That, the same Gemara in Megillah says, is dependent on your efforts, on what's called your yegiya, yogata umatsasa, your efforts. And review, constant review. The purpose of review is to clarify. The result of review may or may not be retention. That's dependent on siyata dishmaya. But no one for a second would even suggest to limit review because there's no guarantee about its resultant retention, because the purpose of review, the primary purpose of review, is to gain additional clarity. And many people who study Torah will find that every time they review a piece, they notice some type of new nuance that they hadn't seen before. That itself justifies and necessitates the need for much review, for multiple reviews of every piece of Torah learning that one does. Let us continue with the Gemara and the analysis of Kolev's prayer. The next phrase is V'asisa Meira'a. What does that mean? She is damnu li re'im kamoisi. he is praying that he should have reim, friends like himself. Levilti shelo yisagveni yetzora milishnos. He's praying that the Almighty should intervene in helping him overcome the evil inclination that often leads people to relax with regard to their learning. In other words, don't allow me to become lax in my Torah learning. Otzbi, im ata oise kein mutav, if you grant my wishes here, that will be wonderful. The imlav, and if you don't grant my wishes, hareni hoilech benesisi lishoil. The word benesisi, Rashi explains, has to do with sadness and anguish. That means I will eventually die in an anguished state. The sheol is the grave, death. Well, after all of this, miyad, immediately, vayove elokim es asher shoal, and the Almighty granted him his request. It might be noteworthy that when it comes to spirituality, a person should realize that a prayer is a very, very central aspect to achieving higher levels of spirituality. And one may argue, and this you can find in different works that deal with these topics, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, listens very carefully to people who strive and pray for higher levels of spirituality. And that's what's illustrated here. Kayoitse badover ata omer. The Rashi, we have this marked off with a type of firebox in the Rashi. Kayoitse badover ata omer. We've marked this off because we feel that this is a very significant statement. Similarly, you find shekol hamoiser atzmo l'chazer achar Torah, that he who seeks out, who moser atzmo is one who totally gives of himself to seek out Torah, mimalin loy shei loysov, his requests are fulfilled. And we mentioned exactly that point earlier. Of course, we gained our inspiration from this Rashi, as well as actually many other sources in the Shas. Another prominent source that I would recommend people looking at is the Gemara in Maseches Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Tes Omid Beis, where this point of extreme dedication to Torah learning leads to fulfillment of one's needs. Continuing in the Gemara. So we read Kayotze Bedover Atomer Rosh Veish Techochim Nifgeshu Meir Einei Hashem Meir Shneim Hashem. Oh, let's read that again. Meir Einei Shneim Hashem. This is now explained. B'shosh Shatalmid Hoylech Eitzel Raboi V'Oimer Loi Lamdeini Torah. When a student goes to his teacher and says, "Teach me Torah." In other words, you have an example here of someone seeking out Torah. Im Melamdoi, if the teacher communicates and conveys to him Torah knowledge, Meir Einei Shnehem Hashem. Let's glance at the Rashi. Meir Einei Shnehem Sha'af HaRav Tzorech Adayin Limud U'melamdo HaKodesh Baruch Hu. The Rav, he's teacher, he may know more than the student, but he himself has needs for additional Torah knowledge, and as a result of the Rav teaching Torah to the student, the Almighty enables the Rav to learn even more. The Imlav, if the teacher does not give over the Torah knowledge, hence he doesn't earn title teacher, he doesn't want to reveal Torah knowledge to he who seeks it out from him, then Oshir Varosh Nivgeshu Oise Kulam Hashem. And the Gemara explains this. The one who merited gaining wisdom, the individual we refer to as the teacher, now that he doesn't want to share his Torah knowledge, he himself will become foolish. Tipesh lozeh, he who made the individual lacking knowledge of being made him a fool, oisa chacham will now make him anew, will renew him. Because he sought out the Torah, he will now, yes, be successful in his Torah learning. So that you see from this passage that your job is to seek out Torah knowledge. If the one you seek it out from grants it to you, that's nice. And if he doesn't, then the Almighty will help you. Zu Mishnas Rabbi Nosson. Up till now, we had Rabbi Nosson's approach. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, and you can see we have a Roman numeral number 2, Omer, he looks at the same thing that Rav Nosson looked at, namely the prayer of Osniel, all of the underlining we did before in breaking down the pasuk of Osniel's prayer. We now see Rav Yehuda HaNasi's approach to that same topic. So Rav Yehuda HaNasi Omer, Im Borech Tevorcheni, if you bless me. Before we saw this explained as with Torah knowledge. Here Rav Yehuda HaNasi takes a more, we'll call it a more gashmius approach to this prayer, where he is praying for the period of Aribia, procreation, having children, having offspring. Vihirbasis Guli, the Bonim Ubabanos, and you will increase my borders with children. The Hoiso Yodcha Imi, the Masu Matan, you will help me with success in business dealings. The Osa Me Ra, Sheloy Yehebi Michush Roshu, Michush Uznaim, Michush Einaim, that I should feel physically healthy. I should have no pains of headaches, ear aches, eye aches. Levilti Sheloy Sagveni Yitzahara Milishnos. Here, it's interesting, this is really the same as before, where he's praying that he should not have be overtaken by his evil inclination for from learning. In other words, his evil inclination should not weaken his attachment to Torah study. Otz B, Im Atosa Kemutov, if you grant my request, that'll be good. V'im Lav Harini Hoyuich B'Nesisi L'Shoel, as we said before, I will die in a state of despondency and anguish. V'Yove Elokim Es Asher Shoal, and the Almighty granted his request. Kayotze Badovar Ata Omer. Now here, we're going to look at Rashi again, but since it's another Dibur HaMas, we'll have a little star to help you find where this is from. Kayotze Badovar. Shamevakesh Al Mezoinoiso V'Al Tzrochov. We will see another illustration, like we just saw, of he who seeks out his sustenance and his needs from Shamayim. In other words, a person who understands the power of prayer, the significance of turning to the Almighty for one's needs, and one does so, shenizkokin lo min haShamayim l'mali shelosof, that a person like that gets his requests fulfilled. Once again, we're saying a general point that intense prayer, and each person has a different level of intensity. One can't say any specific rules about it. It's not necessarily quantity, it could be the quality of the prayer. But intense prayer, if one is able to maximize his prayer efforts, so we are saying over here, he will be granted his requests. Now, we have to mention that not always does a person know what is actually best for him. And as a result, a person can see cases in life where a person prays and prays and prays, and he doesn't have his prayers fulfilled. And sometimes a person will see, sometimes even years later, that his lack of prayer fulfillment was actually to his own ultimate benefit. You can imagine someone, for example, who's praying for successful business, and he happens to live in a land that is not so hospitable to the Jewish people. So imagine a person who is preparing for success, and his business goes bankrupt, and that forces him to leave his host country. And a few years after he leaves his host country, that very same country turns around and exterminates its Jewish population. Had he had a successful business, he would have remained in that land and been subject and been victim of that persecution and extermination. As a result of his prayer not being answered, he was actually saved. And many, many other examples you can imagine, and life bears this out. So that what we really should be saying is that intense prayer will lead to one's ultimate salvation. Sometimes we need patience. Things are not answered immediately, but ultimately everything is for one's benefit. But in order to achieve that benefit, whether one sees it immediately, whether it's apparent or sometimes not apparent, prayer is necessary. So, Kayotze Badovar Atomer, similarly, we say this idea that through prayer one's needs will be fulfilled. The same pasuk as we saw before is quoted here. Rosh v'ish t'chochem nifgishu meir einei shneim Hashem. B'shosh she'oni hoylech etzel bal abayis v'yomar parnaseni. When the Rosh is an oni, is a poor man. So when the poor man goes to the man of means, the bal abayis, and says, support me, im mefarnes amutav, if the man of means supports the impoverished individual, then that's very good. The imlav, and if he doesn't cooperate, oshir v'rosh nifgishu oyser kulam Hashem. Mi sh'aso oshir lozeh, he who made this man to be wealthy, oisei oni, will cause his own impoverishment. Oni lozeh, he who made him impoverished, the other fellow, a poor man, oisei so osher, he will grant him wealth. Another point of thought that comes out of this is that a person should not think that he is in control. People are given the opportunity to merit acts of loving kindness, but a person shouldn't think for a second that just because I, let us say, don't support an individual, that means that that individual has no hope. The Almighty is the ultimate supporter of people. It's just that people have an opportunity to gain merits through doing these acts of loving kindness, then that actually only benefits themselves. As far as the other party is concerned, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu takes care of ultimately. Omar Rabbi Shimon, Ma Motzinu V'chulei. Here we turn back to Rabbi Shimon and the topic of the Chatos HaMesos, those sin offerings that the Mishnah mentioned are destined to die. And here the Tanaic source elaborates on that. Tonu Rabbanan, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Chomesh Chatos Mesos. There are five types of sin offerings that are set aside to die. And we mentioned this in our previous shiur, so here we're following on that. What are the five? Vlad Chatos, the offspring of a sin offering. Utmuras Chatos, one who replicated a chatos offering onto another animal. The chatos shemesu balea, the sin offering whose owner died. In other words, the heirs don't bring that sin offering. The animal is set aside rather to die. The chatos shekipru balea, a sin offering whose owner achieved atonement through a replacement animal. In the event that the original one was lost, upon finding the original animal, it is set aside to die. The chatos she'ibro shnosa, a sin offering which is expected to be under a year of age. If the animal became past a year of age, it is set aside to die. The issue now is, are we dealing with private sin offerings or chatos tzibur, public korban chatoses? I ato yochol lomar vlad chatos betzibur. You can't say that the phenomenon of a sin offering offspring exists on a public level, on a public sacrifice, v'fishein chatos nekeva betzibur, because female sin offerings are never brought by the public. There are female sin offerings, but those are always brought by an individual. And likewise, v'ato yochol lomar tmuras chatos betzibur, you can't say that there would exist a chatos replication in the case of the commute of the public, l'fi she'ein tzibur oisin tmur, because the power of causing sanctity replication is something that's vested only in the individual and not the public. V'i ato yochol lomar chatos shemesu baleo betzibur, nor can you speak about a chatos whose owner died when you're dealing with a public sacrifice, a public chatos, l'fi she'ein hatzibur mesim, because the concept of death does not apply to the public, which was a topic we elaborated on in our previous shiur. So three of the five chatos shemesu situations cannot exist on a public level. Shekipru baleo v'sheibro shnosa, cases 4 and 5 of a chatos whose owner achieved atonement through a replacement animal, that's one thing, and sheibro shnosa, or a chatos whose age passed 1 year, lo lomadnu, so that we didn't learn whether it's limited to the individual type chatos or public. Yochol Yu Noihagos Bein Biochid Bein Bet Sibor. We've dashed underlined Sibor because this is the new factor. Whereas the first three could not exist on a public level. These two, numbers 4 and 5, in theory, could exist on a public level. In other words, the public, for example, set aside a sin offering. It got lost. They then offered a replacement animal. When they find the original one, what is the law? So that's a scenario that could, that in theory could be on a public level. And likewise, if the public set aside a chatos within a proper age range and it passed that. So what is the din of, if it actually happened, if a public sin offering was past a year of age, or a public sin offering which had been lost was subsequently found after a replacement one was offered? What do we do when it comes to a public one? Amris, Yilmad Sosum Mimufurash. We'll learn the what's called Sosum, the unknown, the point that we're not sure about, cases 4 and 5, Mimufurash from cases 1, 2, and 3. Ma mufurash biyachid dvorim amurim velo betzibor. Just like cases 1, 2, and 3 could not exist on a public level, as we demonstrated before, and hence they are only they only exist on a private level. Af b'shekipru baleo b'sheibro shnosa. So two cases 4 and 5, even though in theory they could exist on a public level, they don't. They apply. In other words, they apply biyachid dvorim amurim velo betzibor. Only when a private person's sin offering was lost and subsequently found after atonement, then the original one will die, and if it went over a year of age. But if that same thing happened, if those phenomena happened on a with regard to a public sin offering, it would not be set aside to die. The Gemara at the very top of Omid Beis asks, V'chi donin efshar mishe'i efshar? How is it that we are seemingly learning that which is a possibility from that which is an impossibility? In other words, cases 4 and 5 are things that could exist on a public level. Cases 1, 2, and 3 cannot. How is it that we are learning something that has a possibility from something that is impossible? In other words, we're establishing that cases 4 and 5 exist only on a private level because cases 1, 2, and 3 exist only on a private level. But we could come back and say, you can counter that and say, yeah, cases 1, 2, and 3 exist on a private level and not on a public level because they can't even come about on a public level. Whereas cases 4 and 5, they could be on a public level. So maybe in those cases, if a public chatas happens to fill those qualifications, it too will die. So the Gemara answers this, and you'll notice we have a marking in the Gemara, house form. This house form appears twice. On the outside margin, you'll notice the Nosei Mivneh, and we're calling this Hemshech. This is not a new topic. It's a continuation of this very topic. The house is explained Hezberim. These are explanations. Lahifiach, to show Shechatos Hamesos, that the whole realm of sin offerings that are set aside to die, b'yachid nemru v'lo b'tzibor, they were never stated on what we call halacha l'moshe misinai, the oral tradition that tells us that there exists five sin offerings that are set aside to die, that exist only on a private level and not on a public level. So here we'll be masbir, we'll explain, and part of this explanation is addressing the question that we're not really learning the possible from the impossible, but rather there's a different approach taken, as we'll see now. Omar Reish Lakish. Arba'a nitnu lohen. There were four cases of chatas hamesa that were communicated by oral tradition through halacha l'moshe misinai, and a fifth case where it wouldn't die, it would be set out to graze. So we can say there was four and one. Four were taught together as four cases of chatas amesa were taught as having, there were four cases of a korban chatas were taught as needing to be set aside to die. And a fifth one, a fifth case, it would have to graze, set out to be grazed till it develops a blemish and would then be redeemed. V'hemidum al chomesh. And because it wasn't known which one is which, it wasn't known which one is the one of these five different examples, which one is the one that's to be set out to graze. So they took the more stringent approach and said, all five cases will be set aside to die. In other words, they were taught through Halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai these cases. But what happens in each case? You have Chatos Shemesu Baleo, Chatos Shikibu Be, Chatos Shov Rosh Nosa, Tmuras Chatos, Vlad Chatos. Well, each one of those was taught as cases of Chatos that are problematic. And they were taught four of them are set aside to die. Which four? Not clear. One of them is set aside to graze until he gets a moment, but not set aside to die. Which one? Not clear. So we have a group of four and one. The rabbi said, we're just going to treat all five cases as being set aside to die. The question now is, do they apply to the private chatos alone, or will they apply also to public sin offerings? So, as far as that's concerned, the Salka Daitech B'Tzibor, if you were to think that this din of Chatos Hamesa, Chatos that's set aside to die, would apply to a public sin offering, well, Hanoch mi Isnu B'Tzibor, a group of four, can you have a group of four on a public level? No. Only two could exist on a public level. And yet we know a group of four was taught as needing to die. And therefore, I know that we're dealing with a private korban chatos. Al korchach yomad sosum imufurash. Therefore, I'm forced to saying that the fifth one is also something that applies only to on a private level. Rabbi Nosson also addresses this issue of how was this din of Chatas HaMesa communicated. He says, Rabbi Nosson Omer, Achas Nitno Lohen, only one of these cases was communicated as something needing death, needing to be set aside to die. One of the five. The other four, it was communicated that they shall be set out to graze. And should have mentioned earlier, but when we speak about the forgetting what is what, it wasn't clear what is what, it was once clear, but it was forgotten in those halachas that were forgotten in the Yimei Evlo Shel Moshe. This we made mention of on Tes Zayin Omen Aleph, in the upper part of the page, we had Rabbi Yitzchok Nafcha, his name is underlined, a few lines from the top. You notice at the beginning of line an underlined name, Rabbi Yitzchok Nafcha, and he said, "Av chatos shemesu b'la nishtachu b'me'ev lo shemoshe." The issue of chatos, of sin, the sin offering that's set aside to die, was forgotten in the time of the mourning for Moshe. So we're dealing with a situation that came up as once it had been clear, but it was forgotten. And what they knew was that one was given for Misa. Four were ruled upon, or were given over originally, to graze. V'hemidua al chomesh. And they said, well, all five will be set aside to die. The Gemara asks, "Velechsi behe sidra gemiri luhu ibiyochid ibit sibur." Why don't they just rely upon under which heading they were given? Were they given over on a private level, or on a private as well as public level? So the Gemara answers, "Shtei shikhois shachuchu." They actually experienced two forgettings. They forgot which one is set aside to die, and they forgot under which heading the din of Chatas Hamesa was given in the first place. Before going further in the Gemara, let us now look at the Rashi. We're looking at the Rashi on the in the upper part of the narrow lines, Achas Nitno Lohem. This is the Rashi going on Rabbi Nosson. He says, one was given to them, Lemisa. Only one of the five was given over in the oral tradition, the Halacha Moshe Sinai, as needing to be set aside to die. The Arba Olaraya, four were, the four others were ruled upon as needing to graze till they get a blemish. The Hemidua Al Hamisha, and they, because of their having forgotten what which is which, they said, well, all five will be set aside to die. They forgot which one is the one, is the case that needs to be set aside to die. Rabbi Nosson Lefrushi Taimei de Rabbi Shimon de Masnisen, also Rabbi Nosson's role here is to explain Rabbi Shimon of the Mishnah. Elamakami de Masik Lemilse, before he ends up or saying his final point or his actual point, Kaporachle Ashas, the Gemara interrupts with a question, namely, that which we read already, well, why don't they just see under which heading it was taught? Umetaritz le piruche, and then answers that question, and the Gemara said, well, they forgot under which heading it was given. V'holder masik l'milse, and then the Gemara finishes off the original point that Rabbi Nosson was trying to make. Continuing in the Rashi, v'lechsi behe sidro gemiri, amai hem idua al chamisha, Mishum Sveka Bechada. Why? As a result of their doubt concerning one, namely which one is sentenced to death. As a result of a doubt concerning one, they said, well, all five then will be set aside to die. Lechzi Behe Sidra Gemiri Law Lahi Chada. Why don't they just see under which heading public or private only, was the one taught. In other words, even though they don't know which one is to be set is set aside to die, but at least they should have known which under which heading it is found. Im hoyu zechurim she'oisa hamesa shenemar lahem hoisi cholulios biyochid ubitzibor. If they remembered that the one that was sent to die is a type of situation that could have existed both on a private and public level, lemru, then they should have said as follows, the chatos shekipru baleha v'sheibra shnosa mesa misveka. Then, since we know that the issue of dying is something that applies to a type of situation that could exist on a private and public level, so then you ask yourself, well, which situations could have existed on a private and public level? The answer to that is only two of the five cases, Shekipru Baleo and the case of Ovrosh Nosa. So they should have said only those two will die out of a point of doubt, Aval Hanach Shlosha, but the other three, the Tmuras Chatos, the Vlad Chatos, and the Chata Shemesu Baleo, those three, Lekul is Fuki. There's no doubt about them as them requiring death, Dolo Havu Bitsibor. They can't exist on a public level, Dolo Domu Lahi. It's not similar to the one that does exist on a public level as well. So, once again, if they had known that the one that was supposed to die is a thing that could exist on a public level as well, then, as a result of their doubt, they should have ruled that only two of the five should be sent to die, not all five. V'im hoyu zechurim she'oisa hamesa lo'oisa yichol lios elo biyachid, if they had remembered that the one that is to die was taught as part of it was taught under the heading of private only, Lema, then they should have said the Hanoch Shloisha Mesos, the three cases that exist only on a private level, they are set aside to die. Avol Hanoch Trei, but the other two, the cases of Ibroshnosa and Kibru Baleo, Lekulis Fuke, they wouldn't fall under doubt. Dehalo Domi Law. They are not similar to this one that exists only on a private level, because those other two, the case of Kippur Bilel and Ibrosh Nosa, they don't exist only on a private level. So they're not similar, so they wouldn't fall into this doubt. So to this, the Gemara had answered, and we continue with the Rashi, Shtei Shochos Shochachu. In other words, we're striving to get to a point of understanding why is it that they rule that all five chatos shall be sentenced to dying. When up till now we said, listen, it could be, it's either two or three, but why all five? So the Gemara answered, Shtei shochel shochelchu. Rashi continues. What were the two things they forgot? One, mehe sidra. The one that they had been taught is to die. They didn't know which under which heading it falls. Private only or private plus public. And what else did they forget? The Azuhi. And which one is the one that was sentenced to die? Which is the case? The Hilkach Midashokhu Hakul. Since they forgot everything, Kashya Lahu. It was a point of doubt, of difficulty for those in the time of Yeshua. That was the time right after the mourning period of Moshe, in which we said they forgot this point. So they, it was difficult to them. If you were to think that it was the one that was to die happened to be something that could exist on a public level. Arba deraya hechi mishkachas lehu betzibor. So we said that there is one to die and four set out to graze. So if that's the case, that the one to die was a public possibility, so the four to graze would also have been a public possibility. But how do you have four scenarios, four cases on a public level? You'll never have four cases on a public level. Maximum, you can have two cases, as we've said already time and time again. Elo vadai mide idkar chamisha bein misavaraya. Since five animals were taught, whether it be death or grazing, a group of five animals was taught to them halacha l'moshe misinai through an oral tradition that five animals cannot be brought as a korban chatas. Now, what you do with them, we can tell you that one will die, four will set out to graze. We have a group of five. So since we have a group of five animals, b'yachid itmar, it can only have been on a purely private level, private sin offering level. Why? The mishkachas lukulu bay. Because you'll find all five cases when you're dealing with the private korban chatos. Fahainu taimei de Rabbi Shimon, and that's the reason that Rabbi Shimon said that those five will die. The rabbonon who disagree with Rabbi Shimon is lahu. They hold arba'o nitnu lahen kol hecha de mashkachino lahu. Four cases of problematic chatos offerings were communicated through an oral tradition wherever they may come out. The isei biyachadu betzibor isei, the lesei betzibor lesei, those that could exist on a private and public level as well, so be it. And those that cannot exist on a public level, so be it. But the rabbonon who disagreed with Rabbi Shimon, therefore they did not rule out the possibility of a chatos hamesa when on a public level. That was only Rabbi Shimon's opinion, that they're all limited to a private situation. We should point out that when you look back at the Mishnah on the Tes Vav Amud Aleph, the upper part of the page, the Mishnah spoke about the chatos that whose owner achieved atonement through a replacement animal, and the original one was found. At that point, the Mishnah, the Tanakhama, who we eventually know is Rabbi Shimon, says that chatos yochid shikibu b'leo mesa v'shel tzibur eino mesa, a public sin offering whose owner, the public that is, achieved atonement through a replacement animal, original one will not die.
Reb Yehuda Omer Tomus. Reb Yehuda says it will die. And this Reb Yehuda, this opinion of Reb Yehuda that you see in our Mishnah, here the Gemara is referring to that as the opinion of the Chachomim. That, namely, that the possibility of a Chatos Mesa existing on a public level, namely when it could apply, like in the cases of Kippur Bala or Avrosh Nasa, so it too will die. Rabbi Shimon saying no. Let's now turn back to the Gemara after having learned all of the Rashi on this section. We had read Rabbi Nasan and we had reached a point in the Gemara about seven lines from the top where the Gemara revealed Shtei Shichachos Shochachu, and we saw that in the Rashi. They had forgotten 2 points. Which one is the one that dies, and under which heading that one happened to be, private or public as well. The Kashilahu, and they had this difficulty. E Salka Daichle B'Tzibor, they figured that if you were to think that the they were given through oral tradition regarding the public, Hanoch Miyisnu B'Tzibor. But do you have, for example, as we saw before in the Rashi, 4 of the 5 are set out to graze. Do you have 4 cases on a public level? No. You don't have 4 cases of the 4 of these cases on a public level. And yet a group of 4 were taught. Elo Shmamino Yumad Sosum Mimafurash. Therefore, we learn the unknown from the known. Ma mefurash biyachid v'lo betzibur, just like that which is mefurash exists only on a public, on a private level and not a public level. We can say, just like it's clear that the 4 grazers can exist only on a private level and not on a public level. Af sosum, so too the 1 mesa biyachid v'lo betzibur exists on the. With regard to a private korban chatos and not the public korban chatos, so that even though you have a cases where it could arise on the tzibur, we know that those cases, whether it be Ovra Shnatz or Kippur Baleo, on a tzibur level, it will not be set aside to die. The Mishnah, Chomer b'kodshim mi betmura, v'chomer betmura mi b'kodshim. There are 2 categories, and the Mishnah will present them after it just gave us this heading. It will present the details. You can see with our markings that after assigning a Roman numeral number 1 and 2, we now underline Chomer B'Kodshim Mibetmura, and the idea here is there are strictnesses that apply to initial sanctity that you do not find in the case of sanctity replication, known as Tmura. And the second line from the bottom, you see underlined Chomer B'Tmura B'Bekotshim, stringencies that you find in the case of sanctity replication that you don't find in terms of initial sanctification. So the Gemara, the Mishnah continues, Chomer B'Kotshim B'Tmura, Shakotshim Oysin Tmura, Vein Tmura Oysin Tmura. Only something that had an initial sanctity can be the basis of effecting a replication. However, something that was already something that happens itself to be a replica, a tmura, it cannot be used to make another replica. Another point: Hatzibur v'ashutfin makdishim, the public or partners, multiple individuals have the power of sanctifying something. Avolo memirin, the public nor partners have the power of creating a replica, a tmura. Another phenomenon you find by kochim and not by tmura, umakdishin ubrin veivarim. One can sanctify as yet unborns, embryos, and limbs. Avolo mimirin. However, limbs cannot be participatory in a tmura effort. Chomer betmura mi bekochim. Stringencies that apply to tmura that you don't find by initial sanctity. Sha'tmura chola al balas mum kavua. Tmura is something that when you replicate kedusha, the replica can in fact be an animal that has a permanent blemish. V'ein yoitza l'chulin ligzos v'le'avid. And you won't be able to redeem this to the extent that you will be able to shear and work with it. And this is as opposed to a case of one who conveys initial sanctification on an animal that is already blemished. The rule there is that once it's redeemed, if the initial sanctity set upon an animal that was already blemished, its redemption leads to the animal becoming a full-fledged chulin creature, which you are able to shear and work with. By the way, don't confuse this with a case of someone who sanctified an animal that was unblemished and subsequently became blemished. That's already a different story, that when it's redeemed, it cannot be shorn nor worked with. But when it comes to sanctity setting upon an animal that's already blemished, when it comes to a tamura, when that happens to be a replica situation, so its redemption has this stringency to it, this restriction that you still won't be able to shear it nor work with it. Whereas the parallel situation of an initial sanctity that was dedicated upon an animal that was already blemished, that when redeemed does become a return to a state of full-fledged chulin. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, we're at the top of Daf Yud Zayin. Osa shogeg kemezid b'tmura, v'lo osa shogeg kemezid b'mukdashim. With regard to tmura, the unintentional is viewed as having the same severity as intentional when it comes to tmura, which is not the case when it comes to initial sanctity, where if something was done b'shogeg, so it's not treated the same way as something as sanctification that was done with intention. This point itself will be elaborated on extensively by the Gemara by presenting numerous different opinions explaining that. Rebbe Lozer Omer, Hakilayim. Kelayim is a mixed bred animal, Vatrefa, an animal with an organ deficiency. For ha'yotze dofen, a cesarean birth, for tumtum, something whose gender is unclear, it's covered. Vandrogen is a dual gender creature. Lo kedushin, velo magdishim. They cannot be the source of initial kedusha. If you try to sanctify it, it won't take hold of any one of these five examples. Nor can they be the source of kedusha in a tamura sense, causing something else to become kodesh. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.